praise God. Welcome to church, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. I'm Pastor Brent. You know, I was thinking about it. We have not had service together in the building till since right around Thanksgiving. That was not planned. But Jody and I both got COVID, and then our kids got COVID, and it was not at all planned. We praise God every day that it was very mild for us, that we didn't have a really horrible case of it. And we're just so grateful to be over it and past it and now walking in the antibody of it. I have been praying for wisdom for all of you who are considering or not considering the vaccine, whatever. I'm not anti-vaccination. I'm not pro-vaccination. I am for people being led by the Holy Spirit. And if you feel like you should get it, and your spirit's bearing witness with you, then go ahead and get it. If you feel like you shouldn't, then don't. But whatever you do, don't make that decision based on fear and gossip. Both are equally bad, and you can sit and say all you want, I know this person, I know that person, and I heard. Okay, great. Listen to your heart down in your spirit and listen to what he's telling you. All right, because there's a lot out there that we don't know. There's a lot out there of rumors, and there's a lot out there of conspiracy theories and gossip. And you know what? Some of it's true and some of it isn't. I am trying to walk, my New Year's resolution is to walk the middle. I'm not going one ditch or the other, except when it comes to faith and my marriage. You know, there's a few extremes in life, but in everything else, you need to learn to walk the middle line. I don't need to go from one ditch to the other. And so I'm not, I'm going to just stay. I know very, several people that have decided to get it. I know several people that haven't, and I'm okay with both. And so I'm just going to say I'm praying for wisdom for you and agreeing with, for you for wisdom. And the right steps, be led by the Holy Ghost in what's going on there. And I say all that to say, you know, I'm believing, I watched somebody the other day say that there is a, that he believes that churches and country clubs are going to be making a comeback this year. And, you know what? That'd be great. Praise God. We're all for that. And so, I really want to say that. And I want to say that everybody needs to be praying for our country this week. I don't know where you stand. And to be frankly honest with you, I don't care where you stand, on the election. I try to stay neutral here in the pulpit. I have my own personal political views. I'm not willing to share those with just anybody on either side because I respect the office of the pastor. I do have a stand on moral issues that I'm very vocal about. But as we come into Tuesday, I believe it is, we need to be praying. And it doesn't matter if you voted for President Trump or for President-elect Biden. It does not matter. If you are a Christian and you are not praying for the will of God to be done in our country, and you say, well, what is the will of God? I am not here to tell you what the will of God is. You should be in your Bible deciphering what the Word of God is. You should be asking the Holy Ghost how you should pray. And if anybody wants to, you know, call it one way or another, because I won't step on out there and call me a chicken or whatever, all I want to say is, if you want to call me a chicken, then call it to me to my face. Don't talk about me behind my back, all right? If you want to have a political discussion, that's great. We can have it. But I am not going to stand in the pulpit and preach that to everybody. Those are opinions, and that's just the way it is. But if you're a Christian and you're not praying for the wealth, health, and safety of our country come this Tuesday, you are wrong. Period. There is no other way to get around that. If you're not praying for our country this Tuesday, when Congress has their meeting, and right now they're going to have some people dispute it, some of the senators and some of the representatives, I don't care what your opinion is, either yay or oh, they're terrible. Doesn't matter. If you're not praying, and specifically those of you who know how to pray in the Holy Ghost, if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost to pray out the mysteries of God, specifically pertaining to that, you're wrong and you're out of line. Period. Now, that's as strong as a pastoral word that I'm going to give. I'm just going to say you need to be praying for our country this week. Big, important week. And you can sit and say, Pastor Brent, you're going to pray for this or you're going to pray for that. You don't need to worry about how I'm praying. You need to pray yourself and you need to pray in the Holy Ghost if you know how. All right? You need to pray in the Holy Ghost and ask Him to help you pray this out, because our country is at a very, very, very fragile place coming up this Tuesday. And there's all kinds of talk about all kinds of things. I'm just going to leave it with this. No matter where you stand, you better be praying. And don't just pray for your way to happen. You need to be praying for God's way to happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I didn't mean to get into all that, but it needs to be said, because it is a very pivotal time in our country right now. And if you don't know, if you can't tell that we're almost in the last of days, then there might be something wrong with you. we're getting down close. And so we need to be praying. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to start a little mini series here in the 1st of January, and I'm going to call it Brilliant. I know that I sent out and posted on our reading page, our Bible study page, the Direction Church Bible reading page. I posted the plan on there for this year that we're going to read the entire Bible through the year. As I started reading it, I believe it was on Friday, I started that new plan and I started reading it. I got into that last little bit of the first chapter of Proverbs, and some stuff just exploded in my spirit. I mean, just things just came birthed right up out of my heart, and I just could not help myself but really go back and circle and underline some things, highlighted on the app. And there were some things in there that really jumped out at me. And I want us to discuss that for the next few weeks. I want us to talk about it. And I welcome your input. Now, I'm going to say that, and I'm going to say this. I don't want you trapping me in a corner to talk 45 minutes about it. I would just love to hear some of the things that God's speaking to you. I know at the end of our reading, there is a place on the app that you can share what the Lord spoke with you. All right. Now, I want to say that to say, when something like that happens to me, I'm very, apt to share it. I want to hear what God's saying to you when you read those scriptures and you read those words. And what is it that's leaping off the page at you? All right. So, but please, let's just, let's exercise manners, because you know you're not the only one that's going to have things. There are going to be people that want to share that. And so that's what that Bible reading page is for too. I'd love to see you contribute on there as well. All right. Praise God. All right. All right. Well, let's go ahead and look at this over here in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 2. And let's read what that says in there. And we're going to read in all the way down to verse 4. And actually, let's go ahead and start in verse 1. Let's just look there. It says, "These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, the king of Israel. Their purpose is..." Now, this is where the Lord started showing me things right here. The purpose of what Solomon wrote down here is what he's talking about. Their purpose is to, underline these phrases right here, teach people, I'm reading out of the NLT, teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. Again, talking about Proverbs, the Proverbs' purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple and knowledge and discernment to the young. Now, I want you to see those everywhere it says what the purpose is. to teach people, and then to teach them what? I want you to circle or underline that. So the first thing we to teach people wisdom and discipline. Then the next purpose is to help them understand the insights of the wise. Okay. Then the next in verse 3, teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. Then their purpose going on after the comma there, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will, here it is again, give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. As I was reading that, those words began to leap off the page and also leap up in my heart. And I know inside me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I didn't hear an audible voice. I didn't hear, you know, a thundering crack of, you know, lightning and thunder, and I didn't have any kind of sign or symptom, but just down on the inside, the Holy Spirit said these words, if it can be taught or shown, then it's meant for everyone to have. And I thought, glory to God, amen. And that means that you, if you're reading this, can have wisdom and discipline. You can understand the insights of the wise. You can live disciplined. You can be successful. You can do what's right. You can do what's just. You can do what's fair. Anybody getting excited yet? You can have insight and knowledge, and you can have discernment. No matter where you're from, come on, no matter what kind of upbringing you came from, no matter what experiences you've had, no matter what embarrassing thing that plagues you from your past that weighs on you on a daily basis, no matter what kind of shame you experience, come on, no amount of loss that somebody's been taken from you or something has been taken from you, you can live the kind of life that Proverbs chapter 1 is talking about. It is for you right now, or else this book would not exist. God wouldn't allow it. All right? You can have all these things. So what I want to do is I'm going to take a few weeks to talk about each one of these things that it's talking. And then the last week, we're going to talk about how. Okay, we're not just going to leave you stranded. So we're going to start with what these things are supposed to teach you. Okay, so that's what we're going to start with. And I want to start by saying this: all of this applies to your everyday life and your relationship with and understanding of God. Now, I'm going to say something that may make people mad. I don't mean it to, but there are way too many people who are solely reliant on their pastor to teach them and show them and tell them what to do. Now, don't get me wrong. That's what a pastor's life is. It's what preachers are for. We're supposed to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. But there's so many people sitting around waiting on their pastors to tell them everything. Okay. Look here in verse number 2 again of Proverbs chapter 1. Look at what it says. Their purpose, talking about the Proverbs, is to teach people wisdom. That's the first thing. We're just going to stop right there. To teach people wisdom. All right. Now, the book of Proverbs exists to teach. And so let's just look at that word for a second, to teach. Now, I know that many of you, as soon as you say the word teach, you get an image of a lady with horn-rimmed glasses, the chain that hangs down, and she's got a big long stick. Now, I'm talking to definitely older folks, because younger folks probably don't think that way, but they have a big long stick and they're standing in front of the chalkboard and they're saying, A is for apple. And they're, okay, most people think that that's what it is, that teach is that. All right. And sure, that is somewhat of it. It does exist that way. I know that my mom and I actually had the same first grade teacher, and she looked exactly the way when I had her. She looked exactly that way when my mom had her. And I remember the day my mom walked in with me to school, And she met her, and the teacher remembered her, and they remembered, you know, of course my mom would remember her, and she said, but she looks exactly the same, Mrs. White, and she's just such a wonderful. She was a really, really nice, great first grade teacher, and she was great with us. She could make things happen. She would unlock mysteries for you, and she would teach you and show you things. But I went and looked it up, and I looked up the word teach, and it means to show or to enlighten or to gain understanding from. And in this case, what are we gaining understanding of? Wisdom. What are we being enlightened of? Wisdom. What are we being shown? Wisdom. And I started thinking about that. What does that mean to show something? You know, sometimes it's so much easier when you're having a conversation with somebody and you're trying to describe it, and they're just looking at you like, what do you mean? And you tell stories and you do everything you can to help them get an image of it. And then you finally just go, never mind. Let me just show you. Okay. It's easier to understand something when you can actually lay your eyes on it, when you see it. That's what teaching is supposed to do. Teaching is supposed to show you. That word enlighten means to shed light on a dark subject or a dark area. I'm sitting in, my dad calls this Northern Command. I'm at my parents' house in Kentucky. We put this up during the COVID lockdowns earlier this year so that we could do the podcast in church from in here. And it's still here. And when I came in here just a little bit ago, the studio lights and everything that we had put up in here, my mom had taken them down. And so I turned the lights on, and it was pretty dark in here. It wasn't, you know, pitch black or anything, but it was dark enough to where I tried to sit down and just start recording, and it wouldn't, or turn on my computer, and it wouldn't work. It just looked very shadowy and dark. And I went over and grabbed the studio lights, and I put them on and turned them on, and what a difference that made. Because now you're able to see my face, you're able to see behind me, you're able to see, you know, my brand new, you know, suit that I got for Christmas, and how wonderful it is. You're able to see those kind of things, and that's what the word teach means. It means that what your idea of wisdom is, actually Proverbs exist to shine light on it so that you can see what wisdom is really there for and what it actually is. So let's move on now. Let's say, okay, so Proverbs exists to show or to shine a light on or to help you gain understanding of wisdom. Now, I want you to catch that. Wisdom is such a big word. Such a big word that Christians and churches use. They throw it around a lot. Oh, yes, brother, that's wisdom. That's wisdom, you know, and word of wisdom. And there's all kinds of ways that people use the word wisdom. Sometimes people use wisdom to cover up fear. They say, oh, I'm just doing that out of wisdom, when really they're actually in fear. And there is such a broad use of this word wisdom. And I actually think it's used differently in different churches and in different circles. Okay. How many of you have ever seen The Princess Bride? That's one of the funniest and best movies ever. And we laugh about it frequently. You know, we'll make jokes, you know, anybody got a peanut and stuff like that, and make jokes. And I know that, you know, everybody knows Inigo Montoya. I am Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. And it's such a hilarious, funny little fairy tale type movie. And if you haven't seen it, I encourage you. It's a great little movie. But there is, this one character, a little bald-headed guy, who is the battle of wits against the Dread Pirate Roberts, and he keeps using this term, inconceivable, and he says it really kind of funny. He's got a little lisp, and he says, inconceivable, and he says it throughout the entire movie. And finally, Inigo leans over to him, and he goes, you keep using this word. I don't think you know what it means. And that's the way I feel sometimes with the word wisdom. I think that wisdom sometimes in the church gets thrown around in so many different directions. And when people speak about wisdom, it's almost like this far off thing that only a few people can attain. Like, it's just, you got to go to school and you have to be a pastor and you have to be a saint, to, you know, this really seasoned, you know, veteran of the church in order to really have the kind of wisdom that makes an impact in this world. And so that's why I want to talk about that today. In this passage of scripture that we read, we see the word wisdom twice, and it's actually two different words. And so today we're going to talk about the first one. All right. This here, let's read it in this scripture again. It says, their purpose, talking about the Proverbs, purpose is to show or enlighten or to help people gain understanding of wisdom. Okay. So let's look at what that word wisdom means. That word wisdom means to be a skillful person or a skillful man. Okay. It also means wits. It also means shrewdness. It also means the quality of having or showing good powers of judgment in ethical and religious affairs. Now, I want you to catch that. This book, this Proverbs book, the purpose is to show or to enlighten or to help you gain understanding of the skill that you have, the wits that are within you, the quality, this is to teach you or to show you the quality of having or showing good powers of judgment in ethical and religious affairs. What does it mean? Proverbs is here to teach you how to walk with God, have understanding of the word, and in the things of the world where we need to have a moral principle, that we need, you know, a moral principle to govern our behavior or to help us to make the right decision, to step out and do something, that we, you know, we want to make sure we do it right. And listen, there's so many people that live there. Oh, I know I want to do that, but I'm just so scared I might do it wrong, or I might do something to hurt somebody, or I might step over a line, or I mean, listen, the Bible, this is what it's telling us, that Proverbs was written to actually teach you or show you, shine light on, so that you can get a clear understanding of how to have good powers of judgment in an ethical affair, but also in a religious affair. What does that mean? You can have a power of judgment of what you need to be doing in order to further your relationship with God. I can have working within me the power, come on now, to make a right choice in a situation out there that is the right choice to make, that's not going to hurt and offend and bother and backstab and do. It's the right ethical choice. Let me say it this way. In your walk with God, even in your understanding of the word, even in things where moral principles are needed to govern our behavior, you can know what to do and you can make the right decisions. Listen, this is what Proverbs exists for, according to its writings, okay? You are not left in this world to just guess and make decisions in the dark. Right now, you know, we've been believing, and we still are, firmly believe in God for my dad's eyesight to come back. It's there and it's not there. It's dark and it's fuzzy. And then it's like, he says, it's like somebody turns the dimmer switch on and it just turns. And there are things that, that my dad struggles with because he's not used to not seeing. Okay. And as he walks through, he's in the world, guessing about things in the dark. when you set his plate down in front of him, he has to guess where everything is. Now, my mom's doing her best to say, hey, your food is at this place on your plate, and your dessert is over here, and the potatoes are over here, and trying to, you know, but he's still having to guess in the dark. And I want to say to you that that's not what the will of God for your life when it comes to spiritual things. You're not, God didn't design this for you to just guess in the dark. If Proverbs exists to show you how to make decisions that aren't decisions in the dark, then that means you can have that in your life right now. You can become, according to this definition that we just read out of Strong's, you can become skilled in the things of God and skilled in making moral decisions, and you can be skilled in doing the right thing. How many of you know when you're skilled at something, come on, you're actually pretty confident in it. I remember during the COVID lockdown and earlier in the year, last year, when we were doing math at this very table with Preston, and Preston was just very new at this thing, and he would guess, just hoping that he would get it right, but that way we could move on. He just wanted to hurry that up and get past it, and he would guess, and I would just look at him and say, you're guessing. You're not applying the light that you've gained. You're not trying to see it. You're not shining a light on it to see it. You're guessing. And there's a lot of, and it's because it's new information. And there's a lot of that that's true with you and your walk with God. There are so many things that are new to us. There are so many things, and we see something in the Word and we go, I don't know if that's right or wrong. And we're just so new to it. And it's a new way of thinking, because we've always been raised to go talk to the preacher or the priest or whoever. And the thing is, you will still feel in the dark when God is actually shining a light on the answer. It's up to us to look at it. All right? Don't just guess. Don't just, well, I think I heard somebody preach about that one time on TBN, 3 o'clock in the morning. I had the TV on, and well, I kind of heard it. No. Apply it when you hear it to your life right now, because that's what the Word of God is for, all right? This is what wisdom means. It means that you can know what to do and make the right call from a skillful place. Now, we were talking about skill a few minutes ago. I know that when we first started as parents, and a lot of us are in that boat, how many of you remember the first kid? Oh my gosh, you're boiling pacifiers and you're cleaning everything and you're making sure everything's just perfect and it's got to be just right. And it's because it's new. It's new information to you. But by the time you got to your second or your third, it is not nearly as important, because you realize, I know what I'm doing now. I don't have to do it as stringent, you know. I know that there's a joke that some moms are boiling pacifiers. Every time it gets dropped by the second kid, they're licking the pacifiers off and popping them back in their mouth, because their skill as a mother has grown. Now, some of you may still, you know, oh no, I'd still going right into the boiling water, and I'm even throwing them away and buying a brand new one, and it may be that way. But there are things that you did with your second child that you were way more confident in. And that's what wisdom is that your skill grows. Come on, somebody. Now, if you think, what are you talking about, Pastor Brent? In your relationship with God, it feels so overwhelming. It feels so overpowering. It feels so mysterious that you're so unsure. But if you will stick with it, come on, and you will still put the Word in, come on, your skill to understand God's Word and to know God grows. And that's what God wants for you. That's what wisdom is. He wants you to be skilled to where the things that used to tempt you don't even tempt you anymore. And it's not because you don't know what to do. It's because you have been taught and shown what to do, and you did it. All right. Now let's move on a little bit here. It says here also that that it's not only does it teach people wisdom, but it also teaches people discipline. So point number two is Proverbs exist to teach or show or enlighten places in your life where you have misstepped, where you have done something wrong, where you have made a mistake. But now here's the new, this is the new information right here. It doesn't exist to do that so that you feel bad about yourself or to condemn you or to make you, see, I knew I didn't know what I was doing. It's not to do that. It is to show you the right way so that you can actually achieve more, so that you can take the step in the right direction. There's so many people that live in fear that they're going to do their relationship with God wrong, that they do the relationship with God wrong. All right. I want to say this, and I've never been more confident of anything else in my life. Mistakes are going to happen. You are not, nor will you ever be, perfect. No matter how much you want to tell yourself you are, I don't make mistakes. No matter how much you think you know about something, no matter how good you actually are at something now, no matter how much you've actually experienced, no matter how much you've done, no matter how old and wisdom in your hair you are, no matter how much experience and training you have, you are going to make a mistake. Trust me, it's going to happen. I know the best of the best, and they've made mistakes. I know the oldest of the old, and they still make mistakes. I know the most highly trained of the highly trained, and they still make mistakes. This verse in Proverbs says that it was written to show you how to recognize when you've done something wrong. And God is merely wanting to show you the way to go, which means you can live, watch this now, without fearing of making a mistake. Now, I don't know who that's for, but somebody needs to hear that today. You can live your life fear-free of making a mistake. Now, that doesn't mean you don't try and you can just live reckless. But if you're earnestly going after it and you make a mistake, you don't have to live in fear of that. God's desire for you, he expresses here in this first chapter of Proverbs. His desire is to help you learn from the mistakes you made and walk the right way. Why? Because the right way leads to success. God doesn't want you to walk around beating yourself up over mistakes that you've made. He doesn't want you walking around fearful that you're going to do it wrong. He wants to correct you and show you so that you can stop making that same mistake and walk to the successful way of life God has for you over there. And if Proverbs exists to teach that, then guess what? That's what God wants for your life. He wants to bring you right out of the mistake that you've made and put you on the path, hallelujah, the path to the way of success. And that's what it's for. It's to teach or show you where discipline, that's what the word discipline means, where you've made a mistake and correct it and help you walk in the new way. All right, let's look at the last one. Proverbs exist to help you understand what other skilled people have been shown or perceived or have revealed. Let's read the verse. It says this, the purpose is to teach people wisdom. We already talked about that. And discipline, we already talked about that, to help them, who's that? You, understand the insights of the wise. So we can say it this way. You can understand what other skilled people have been shown or what they have perceived or what they've had revealed to them, you can understand it. Now, let's talk about that for a second. Have you ever listened to other preachers or preachers talk in general and you're left scratching your head? Now, I had the privilege and the honor of working for the Hagans at Rhema in Tulsa. And if you don't know who they are, one of the biggest ministries in the nation. And at that stage, when I first started working there, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who was the founder of the ministry, was actually still alive. And he was considered the leading prophet in the land. And I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he taught some of the greatest revelation the body of Christ needed to hear. Now, I don't say that as hyperbole. I say that to say, when I first started listening to Brother Hagin, I'd get lost. I had no idea what he was talking about. There are times that I listen to people on TV and people of these big churches, and I'm left sometimes going, what are they talking about? I don't get it. It didn't click with me. Has that ever happened to you? Let's take it a different direction. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody who's really smart about a subject? Let's say science. Or no, at our own church there, we have a computer programmer who plays guitar for us all the time. Ben has a degree in it, in coding and things like that. And I can hang with him a little bit, but when he gets into deep weeds of that, I have no idea what he's talking about. Have you ever been around somebody that talks about math and they're really good at it and you just kind of go, nope, don't know what you're talking about? You know, there's all kinds of, when we had COVID, we would, you know, cause you're tired. I'm just going to tell you, if you've had it, you're very tired. You want to sleep a lot. You lay around a lot. You don't want to do a lot. And, I started watching The Big Bang Theory. I had never watched that show. And I kind of, describing Penny, if you don't know what the show is about, it's about a group of four friends who are all instructors at Caltech, and they're all geniuses, they have their doctor's degrees in physics and all this stuff. And Penny is the girl that lives across the hall, and she dates one of them, and she's just a waitress at Cheesecake Factory. And so a lot of times they'll be talking, and you can see her face, like she just feels so dumb compared to them. And, you know, that's sometimes the way I feel listening to some people talk. Some people that are really smart, other people who are, you know, maybe really advanced in the word and things like that. Especially when I first started, I would listen to some people preach and I would only catch about half of it, maybe. Let me just go right down to the rubber meeting the road. Have you ever been sitting in church and listen and you only catch half of what the preacher is saying? Or he starts off good, and then when he starts to go down a path using, you know, big words, you just kind of zone out until he brings you back with a story. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's what this part of this verse is talking about. That you can have insight to the wise, to the people who have had things shown to them. They've become skilled in other areas. See that their wisdom was departed to them. They became wise. So they had things shown to them. They became skilled in it. They became an expert in it, or clarity came to them in it. Okay. Proverbs was to help people grow in their skill that they could receive and understand the richness that somebody else was talking about. Okay, that means Proverbs was written to teach you and help you to gain the insight that somebody else got because they start speaking. What am I saying? God doesn't want you to sit there and drift off because you can't understand what they're talking about. God wants your understanding to rise up and grab hold of that richness that they're preaching and that they're teaching and pull it into your life and make it yours. And how will it apply to you? I know that when I was a student at Rhema, first year, first term, I mean, right off the bat, September, first term, I had in the morning, first hour, I had Keith Moore, who pastors just, you know, over there in Sarasota, and also in Branson. I had him for Christ the Healer. And I got to tell you, that was one of the most rich classes. It really convinced us that God's will is for us to be healed. But I got to tell you, I was coming into this, into Rhema at that time. I'd only been serving God again for about 6-8 months. And I mean, I grew up in church, but I had turned my life around. So I came in, and it took me probably most of that first semester, or that first term. I think that first term was 9 weeks or 8 weeks. Probably the first 2 weeks, and that was Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I was having a struggle of a hard time. And I've actually gone back and looked at my notes. The first 2 weeks, the notes were very slim. But it was that continuation, now listen to me, of that word being put in, and one day it was like somebody turned on a light switch. And when that light switch got turned on, everything that was coming out of Brother Moore's mouth started to make sense to me. And from that time on, man, my notes were very, very prolific. Okay. You will get to the place. This is what God wants for you. God wants you to get to the place where rich preaching has its full impact on you. Reading the word has its full impact on you. Chapters in the word are not just words on a page. Come on, chapters in the word are, oh my gosh, that was so life-changing. Come on. He wants you to be able to read our reading plan together, and it not just be another page and another page and another page, or another, you know, scroll to the bottom until we get finished. He wants those words to leap off the page at you and slap you right in the face and say, hey, I'm for you right now. He doesn't want you to listen to somebody preaching on TV or on the radio or on the internet or whatever and just be inspired by the little 5-second nugget where they actually pulled out their illustration and they did the illustration and it made the total impact. He wants you to get all of the stuff leading up to that, that you understand and that you're growing and that you are having the impartation of the wise and it's actually making an impact on you. That's what God wants for you. That's why in the Old Testament, they were reliant on the book of Proverbs. But see, here we are at a place now where we don't just have to read Proverbs. Come on, God wants his whole word to have that kind of impact on us. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because that's going to be week 3. Now listen to me. Next week, we're going to continue on this line and we're going to actually talk about what else these things are meant and what God wants for you and your spiritual understanding and your ethical decision-making process. So in the meantime, let's pray. Father, I pray for each one of those that are listening to my voice today. I pray that you help them to grow in their understanding. Lord God, help them to start to have that wisdom rise up on the inside of them. And for the Lord, let it surprise them. Lord, let them say, wow, I don't know where I learned how to do that or why I'm even doing that. Where did that come from? It's because your wisdom is growing within them. Lord God, let them have that revelation on the inside of them. I thank you, Lord God, that you're working that in us because your word and your spirit live within us. And that was what you want for our lives. We thank you for that today. I thank you that the preaching of the word over this year will grow in their hearts and they'll understand and grasp it in Jesus' name. I thank you that you're going to show them where they've made mistakes and you're going to put them right on that path and they'll receive your correction in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you're watching me today and you don't know the Lord, listen, the Bible says it's very easy to receive him. All you need to do is make a decision that starts in your heart. And that decision is, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that God raised him from the dead. I believe that he's Lord of all. If you can make that decision and then say that with your mouth, the Bible says that you actually will be born again. That means Jesus will have a relationship with you. You'll be able to have full access to him at all times. So if that's you, I want to say a prayer with you right now, and I want you to invite Jesus into your heart. All right? Because this is not just something where, you know, people on down the road and people that have been saved for 30 years can have. You can have it in your life today. You can start to gain understanding and wisdom and discipline and the inside of the wise. You can start having it today. So say this prayer with me today if that's you. Say it with me. Say, Father God, I come before you today a sinner, but I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that you raised him from the dead. And I believe that he's Lord of all. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer with me today, you are now in a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I promise you, you now have access to what we're talking about today. Now, next week, we're going to talk about a little bit more about what his will is for us and what he wants for us. And then the third week, we're going to talk about how to get that into our lives. All right. So if that's you and you said that prayer today, hang with us. Stay with us online. Come see us in person. We're going to be in the building next week. And so I'd love to have you with us as we learn to grow and walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Those of you who are watching online, everybody's watching online today, I want to invite you to give in the offering today. We're going to receive today's tithes and offerings. Thank you so much for your support through all of this and through everything I said last week, what we did with the families for Christmas. Thank you for continuing to support the church, even though we haven't been there very much. I just want to thank you for continuing to support the vision and direction of Direction Church. So if you're going to give today, you can sure text the amount that you're going to give to 84321. You can go on the website to direction.church/give. Those of you who are regular church attendees, this is where you can give your tithes. And I want to thank you for all of you who have been faithful to do that. Those of you who are members of our online congregation, many of you do give regularly, and we are so eternally grateful for that. But we do have some of you that only give sporadically, but you've told us that this is your church. And I would just encourage you that if we are your church, I would encourage you to give regularly, because then you're putting your heart where your treasure is, your heart is also. And so I would encourage you to do that. You can just begin to give 10%, just like everybody that normally tithes does. And I promise you, God does not forget those who tithe. He takes care of it. And we are a tithing church. We actually tithe to several different organizations. Number one is Kenneth Hagin Ministries. We tithe to Bob Harrison. And we tithe to King of Kings Ministries, the main campus in Jerusalem, because God says he'll bless those who bless Israel. And so we're doing that. And God's never, ever let us down or forsook us. And so we're so grateful for you. So if you'd like to do that today, that's how you do it. I'm going to pray over the offering, and let's believe God for a harvest. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give today. We thank you that the needs of Direction Church are being met. We thank you that the needs of its people are being met. We thank you that as we follow your rules of giving and receiving, Lord God, we're getting new jobs, we're getting raises, we're getting promotions, we're getting new patients, new clients, new listings. Lord God, we're getting new investment opportunities, new business ideas, new partners, business opportunities, new invention ideas. Lord God, we're getting divine appointments and divine favor upon us during those appointments. We thank you that unexpected increase in inheritance money is tracking us down. We are out of debt, and we call them debt free and every need met in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning. We love you guys so much. Again, next Sunday, we will be in the building. So I want to encourage you to be with us. Come out. Listen, if you're worried about COVID, listen, we do have plenty of room to socially distance. Put your mask on. We will socially distance, and we'd love to see you in the building with us next Sunday. We love you guys so much. I pray that you have a great rest of your day. Lift your hands if you receive this blessing. I call you blessed. I say you'll go everywhere God's called you to go. You'll have everything God's called you to have. You'll do everything God's created you to do, and you'll be everything God's created you to be. You'll walk in the favor of the Lord, and your life will be blessed. Let's go take the journey together. God bless you. Have a great day, everybody.